Welcome everybody to our worship service, worshipping at home, being together by the means that the Lord's provided for us, even though we're not being able to be physically together. For those who haven't seen the prayer news yet, you may be surprised that it's me preaching today. Callum, unfortunately, suffered an injury through the week and has been advised to rest, so it's my privilege to open the Word of God to you. We expect that Callum, in the providence of God, should have recovered sufficiently by Tuesday and Wednesday evenings to be able to conduct the Bible studies by Zoom. But in any case, I'd just encourage everyone to watch their inboxes, their email inboxes, and expect contact from Callum regarding that, with links to the Zoom meetings and notes for the studies. If not, I'm sure we'll be able to make some other arrangements. Well, as always, let's just take a moment or two to quietly prepare our hearts to come before our living God and worship Him. As you're probably aware, many in our nation and around the world are remembering this day as Mother's Day. And so our call to worship today is from Psalm 71, verses 5 and 6. The psalmist says, "You are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you." Let's join together in singing our first hymn together, "Now Thank We All Our God." The words of this song remind us that from our mother's arms the Lord has been caring for us. So let's sing this together. Wonderful song of thanks to God. Let's join our hearts together now in a prayer of praise to God for who He is and what He has done. And as we focus on Him and reflect back upon ourselves, we're aware of how much we need His forgiveness for our sin and rebellion against Him. So let's come in a prayer of praise and confession. Lord our God, truly you are the one who has cared for us from even before the time of our birth. You are the one who has watched over us. You are the one who has brought us into this world. You are the one who has provided a family in which we have been raised. You have provided the care of those who have raised and nurtured us, and in many cases the care of parents who have loved you, and particularly of a mother who has loved you and has prayed for us, who has taught us from your word, who has set us a godly example. And Lord, we do praise you for the way that you have shown your love and care for us by providing for us in this way. Lord, we know that you are the triune God. You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are eternally in loving relationship one with another. And because of your being a God who is a God of relationship, you have created us in your image to delight in and to know the joy of relationship. We thank you for family relationships, and we thank you for marriage relationships. We thank you for the relationships that you bring us into within the family of the church, and the way that you have made us for each other, fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters, as we delight in you and seek to do your will. But Lord, we are aware that even though this has been your purpose from the beginning, to create us in your image so that we would perfectly reflect you, including in the way we enter into and participate in relationships, we confess that we break relationships, and most of all we break and rebel against the relationship with you. We wish to follow our own path instead of humbly and delightedly submitting to you and following the path that you have set for us. We spoil the relationships, even the ones that you have brought us into in this world. We pray that you'd forgive us for not honouring our father and mother. We pray that you'd forgive us for not loving our brothers and sisters, even in our earthly families, as we should, and for the ways that we fail to love and care for each other in the family of the church. Lord, we pray that you'd forgive us the pride of our hearts, the self-centeredness that so often takes hold of us, the lack of being easily entreated, and the stubbornness of heart that so often refuses to hear when another pleads with us. Lord, we pray, give us soft hearts, give us loving relationships, and help us to be, in a proper sense, motherly towards those who are younger in the faith than us, and show a tender care for them, and set them a godly example, and pray wholeheartedly for them, and even teach them as we have opportunity from your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our second song that we'll sing together is a call to all of creation, all around us, to join in praising God. All creatures of our God and King. Let's join together and sing this with joy to the Lord. If we were all physically gathered here in the hall for worship, it would be at this point of our service to the Lord that we would join in giving our offerings to God's work. Thankfully, we're able to do that electronically. And it's also good to join in a prayer of thanksgiving to God for the good things he's given us, and also to pray that he would continue to provide what we need and guide the use of those gifts that we give for his service. So let's join together now in a prayer of thanksgiving and a prayer of requesting God to continue to do good. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, once more we bring our thanks to you for every good gift you provide. In these difficult times with a pandemic affecting the human race all across this earth, with so many experiencing illness and so many having died, we thank you for the mercy that you've shown to us and to our nation. We pray that we would not presume against your goodness and continue in our wayward rebellion against you, but that as a nation we would turn to you and accept these providences as chastenings from your hand to make us less dependent upon the things of this earth and more dependent upon you. Lord, we do thank you that you give us the things we need for life on this earth. We thank you for the incomes that you provide for us and for the way that we are able to contribute to the work of the gospel. And we pray that the ones who have responsibility for making decisions regarding the use of these gifts would have wisdom from you, so that all kinds of people in all kinds of places would hear the good news of what you have accomplished in your Son, the Lord Jesus. That there would be those too who know the mercy that you show by receiving practical assistance with the things of this life, so that they may join with us in giving thanks to you. Lord, we particularly bring before you our minister, Callum. We thank you for preserving him from worse injury in the event of earlier in the week. We thank you for good news from the tests that he has had, and we pray for good benefit from the rest that he has been advised to continue for these days. Lord, we pray for Anna as she cares for him, and ask that you would restore him soon to full health, and that he would continue his diligent service for us, for which we are so thankful. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to participate in the practical, in meeting the practical needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ in Vanuatu. We think of the food that was able to be provided in Malekula, and the way that widows in that community, even those who are not part of the church, were able to have food provided. We pray that this practical help will be a great encouragement to our brothers and sisters there. Lord, we think of those who are working in healthcare settings and social care settings. We pray that you would preserve each one from any infection from the coronavirus. We pray that you would enable us to show a faithful witness to our work colleagues and to those we care for. Help us as a whole congregation to bear a godly witness in these unusual and significant times. Lord, we thank you that there are those older members of our congregation who are now able to be visited, even though there have been restrictions for previous weeks. We thank you for the increased opportunity for family members to visit, and pray that those visits would be an encouragement to both our older members and their family members as they visit. We pray, Lord, for the wider opportunities we have as a church to be engaged in the work of the gospel. We pray for Andrew, our assessor elder, as he continues to diligently work on the Old Testament translation into the Big Numbers language. We thank you for the way that the technology has been able to let this work continue. And we pray for him as he engages in that. We pray for Andrew and Estella as they work together, particularly in translating your word into the language of the Big Numbers people, so that they will be able to delight in being able to read these truths in their own mother tongue. Lord, we are so aware of your goodness in all our areas of our lives, and we do join together once more in thanking you today for the mothers you've given us, for their care and for their love. And we pray that you would help us to show the same care and love, and particularly in the family of the church, to be prayerful, to be diligent in teaching your truth, and diligent in setting a godly example. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our third song is a prayer to God, addressing him as the fount of every blessing, the one from whom every blessing wells up and overflows. Come, O fount of every blessing. Let's sing it together with joy in our hearts to the Lord. Well, since our God is the fount of every blessing, let's ask his blessing as we consider his word together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, if it were left to us to know you and to know a way for a right relationship with you, we would be lost and frustrated. But Lord, you have given us your word by which you may be known. And you have promised your Spirit to help us to understand and to apply your word. May you send your Spirit now to shine his light upon the pages of your word, to shine his light upon our understanding, that we may see wonderful things in your word today and that we may put them into practice in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you're probably aware, today, the day that you'll be watching this together at home, is in our country commemorated as Mother's Day. Don't know if you've looked much at the history of the commemoration of this day. The interesting fact is that it began probably centuries ago as a commemoration in the fourth Sunday in the traditional church calendar, the fourth Sunday of Lent, and it was called Mothering Sunday, and the association with mother was Mother Church. It was a Sunday that was set aside for people to go back to what they thought of as their mother church. It might have been the church where they were baptised, or the cathedral church in their town. And generally, servants were given the day off to go back to their mother church. And presumably, if that was the church where their parents had brought them for baptism, their parents would gather at the same church. And so it was an opportunity, and it's recorded that for a lot of people, it was the only time that the whole family, if there were people involved in service in households, the only opportunity for the family to be together. And so the initial focus was on mother as in Mother Church, but coincidentally, it was an opportunity that many had to meet with their mothers and fathers on this particular day. And that went into a bit of a decline. But then in the early 20th century, a woman in the United States, Anna Jarvis, was very active in promoting the idea of having a formal commemoration of mothers and the benefits that they are to society. And so ultimately, President Woodrow Wilson declared that the second Sunday in May would be known as Mother's Day. Now, sadly, over the years, it's become more of what's called a Hallmark holiday. It's become very commercialised. And Anna Jarvis herself, towards the end of her life, was thinking of starting a petition to get rid of Mother's Day because it had become so over-commercialised. It's also a reason why, if you have family in the UK, they have Mother's Day on a different day. It's the fourth Sunday in Lent, so it sort of moves around with the phases of the moon, but USA and Australia, it's held on the second Sunday in May. Well, here we are, Mother's Day. I thought it would be an opportunity to think about the effect, the impact that mothers have in our lives, and I thought it would be helpful, first of all, to look at four examples where some combination of the intercession or the teaching or the example of mothers and even grandmothers has had an impact. So our first account comes from the Old Testament. It's recorded for us in the first book of Kings, chapter 17. We read from verses 8 to 24. Speaking of Elijah, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." It's my hope today that we'll come away from our time together truly giving thanks where we've had mothers or grandmothers or mothers in the faith who have prayed for us, where that we'll be thankful to God for those prayers and for the impact that they've had in our lives. It's an interesting prayer, isn't it? Here, would we dare to pray like this? "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" It's barely recognisable as a prayer. But in a way it is. It's like a lot of those prayers in the Psalms where there's a lament to God, a crying out to God, "I'm at the end of my tether. I know I'm a sinner. I don't deserve anything from you. But can you see my distress? Will you do something about it?" And maybe we've had mothers who've looked on at our lives and our behaviour and have cried out to God in great distress, and we can give thanks for the way that God has answered. Of course, God answered. He'd already provided miraculously for this family in providing food and oil, flour and oil, and thus fed them for many days during a drought. But here he restored life where there was death. And the woman from an area foreign to Israel was able to say, "By this I know that you're a man of God. The word of Yahweh, the word of Jehovah in your mouth is the truth." She came to a living faith in the covenant God of Israel by seeing her prayer answered. Well, the second account we have is from a similar region of the country. Matthew records it for us in chapter 15. Verse 21 we read, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." Isn't it fascinating? Two women from very defined area of the country, the region of Sidon. No particular familiarity with the true religion of Israel, except this woman knew to call Jesus the Son of David. And she knew to call on him and ask him for mercy, even though she was a Gentile, even though she would have been described by very observant Jews as a dog. Jesus challenges her to really think about whether she's willing to cast herself completely upon him, and not really herself, but her daughter in her distress. And Jesus commends her. He says, "O woman, great is your faith," because she's able to say to him, "Even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Lord, I don't care if people call me a dog. Yes, in the eyes of God, I deserve nothing," just like the widow of Zarephath said to Elijah. "I'm a sinner. But I trust in the mercy of God. I trust that he would even be willing to let crumbs of mercy fall from his table so that I may benefit." And Jesus said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. You can see what a powerful impact the prayer of a mother can have in the life of a child. What's our third example? Well, this example is in a parable, and I'm going to make an assumption here that the widow in this parable was a widow with a child or children, just as the widow of Zarephath had a son. So I'll make an assumption here that the widow in Jesus' parable had a son. And I'll set the context here because it's important. The portion we're reading is at the beginning of Luke 18. It's a very famous introduction. The verse 1 of Luke 18 is, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." But if we back up a bit and look at the beginning of this portion, back in Luke 17, verse 20, this parable comes in the context of a question that the Pharisees came to ask Jesus. They said, "When will the kingdom of God come?" They wanted to know the when and the where. And Jesus spoke powerfully to them in the end of chapter 17 about that day among the days when the Son of Man would come. But he wanted to see prayer as the mark of his disciples. As we await that great day on which the Son of Man is to come, we ought to pray. Because at the very end of this portion, Jesus asks a powerful question. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he find prayerful people? Will he find praying mothers?" That's his challenge. Well, let's hear the parable. "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, 'There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out to him, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Here's a widow, and as I said, I'm making the assumption that she's a widow and a mother. She's in a desperately difficult situation. Her husband has died, perhaps leaving debts, and the debtors are pressing her. They're wanting to take away maybe her house, maybe some property. They're being unjust and unfair in the way they're doing it, but they think because she's a woman, because she's a widow, that she's powerless, and she goes to get justice from the judge. Now, Jesus is deliberately drawing a contrast. He's saying even a corrupt, unjust judge, a judge who couldn't care less what God's law says, and he couldn't care less about the opinion of other people or the laws that have been set, even this judge was moved to administer justice because he was just sick and tired of the widow coming and annoying him. And Jesus says, if an unjust judge will do this, just imagine what the perfect, just judge of all the earth will do in answering the prayers of his people. So once more we see the powerful effect that the faithful prayer of a believing mother has in the lives of her children. Our fourth example comes from Paul's letter to Timothy, his second letter. The beginning of the letter in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 7, and then later on in chapter 3, verses 14 to 17, he says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son." So Paul's speaking of himself as a father in the faith to Timothy. "Grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did." So Paul is in a chain of fathers, and Paul can point back to forefathers. He's now in a position of being a spiritual father to Timothy. My forefathers did without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers, night and day. It's characteristic of a father that he prays for a son. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. So it's not just fathers, but mothers and even grandmothers who have a big impact in the lives of children and spiritual children. And then over in chapter 3, he speaks these very familiar verses. But you must continue in the things you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Just think of the influence that Timothy experienced in his life, having a believing mother and a believing grandmother. These women were characterized by genuine faith. The widow of Zarephath was able to say to Elijah, "By this I know that you are a man of God." She had come from a lamenting prayer to a faithful affirmation of God's power. Jesus said to the Canaanite woman, "O woman, great is your faith." Jesus asked, "When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" By which he meant, of course, the kind of faith that prays persistently to God. That genuine faith was in Timothy, and it was first in his grandmother, Lois, and in his mother, Eunice. And from childhood, Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make him wise for salvation. We see here the powerful effect that certainly the example and teaching, and I'm sure the prayers of a faithful mother and grandmother, had in the life of Timothy. So there are four examples for us to meditate on Mother's Day. But I'm sure there are lots of you sitting at home thinking, well, okay, that's all very well, but how does that affect me? What does it mean for me? How should I put these interesting truths into practice in my life? I think in a lot of ways the focus of Mother's Day is on the idea of being a mother. Now, in the providence of God, many of us gathered here have had the experience of being a mother. For some, that is not something we've experienced or will experience. But it's clear that every single one of us has the experience of having a mother. And I think each one of us can be thankful to God for the care and love that in the vast majority of cases we've experienced from our mothers. Sadly, in this broken world that's been spoilt by human sin, there are some of us who perhaps have not enjoyed the richness of love from a mother. Jesus has a comforting word. Once he was speaking to a crowd and Someone came and said, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside. They want to speak with you. But he answered and said to that person, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. God gives us the opportunity to be family to each other, even if our human family are broken off from us, are at odds with us, at enmity with us, neglectful of us. We have, in the family of the church, a great blessing from God. But for those of us who have had and still have mothers who are faithful, who have faithfully prayed for us, who have faithfully taught us from the Word of God, who have set faithful examples to us, we can be truly thankful. But I'd also like to challenge us about the idea of being a mother. Now, this occurred to me as Callum preached last week from 1 Thessalonians. Do you remember what the Apostle Paul said there? He was reminding the Thessalonians of how he and Silas and Timothy had conducted themselves when they were there in Thessalonica. He said, we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Now, if the Apostle Paul isn't ashamed or reluctant to compare himself to a nursing mother cherishing her children, I don't think any of us should be. Paul's simply pointing out that there are aspects of motherly love, motherly care, especially the motherly love and care that a Christian mother, a faithful and believing mother, shows to her children. There are aspects of that care that we should be able to and willing to show to others, especially for those younger in the faith. We can do what Lois and Eunice did for Timothy. We can teach from the Word of God, that scripture which is given and breathed out by God, that's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man, the woman, the boy, the girl of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So let's follow these examples that are set for us in faithful prayer, faithful teaching as is appropriate and as we have opportunity, and faithful example, looking to God to answer our prayers, to bring our teaching to fruition, to give power to follow that example. Amen. Let's just join in a prayer responding to the things that we've seen in God's Word today. Lord, do help us, we pray, to be faithful in our care of others. We thank you for the example of godly mothers. We pray that we would show true thanks to them and to you for that care. Give us wisdom in our own lives to show that care to others as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final song is one that Kathy and I really delight in. Timothy Dudley Smith, Tell Out My Soul. And it's a reminder that in the last verse that our privilege as we participate in the life of the church is to tell out the wonderful news of what God has accomplished through his Son, Jesus Christ, to children's children and forevermore. Let's sing together, Tell Out My Soul. Our benediction today is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 23 and 24. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.